Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us, Lord. And, you know, we just don't thank you enough. And, Father, we just want to ask you to be with us today, knowing your presence is here, knowing that you came down with a shout, knowing that your shout will soon move into the voice of the resurrection. And, Father, we, having been part and partakers of your shout, wish also to be part and partakers of the voice of your resurrection. So, Father, we just pray that you'd help us today to simply understand a little better, Lord, our position in you. And, Lord, knowing that we have a stature which is where we are right now in our state, which are sons of God, help us, Father, to grow into the full stature of Christ. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This afternoon for the communion service, I've asked Brother Joseph to preach, but he said he didn't come to preach. He came to participate in our service, and but I'm going to have him talk to you anyway, and kind of let you know, he'll testify, and let you know what's going on over there. This morning we're going to look at the unveiling of God. It'll be number 221 in our series, and there's a thought that Brother Branham spoke of, where he used words light over the word. And as you know, we've pretty much gone through most of the quotes or the paragraphs of Brother Branham's, and we're kind of just gleaning right now toward the end, because there's things that keep coming up. Brother Branham, you know, I just want to go through. I said, well, I never covered that when we went through it, so I want to make sure we cover what he said. And so from 157, he said, they spiritually die now. This is the spiritual veil. See, that was a natural veil. This is the spiritual veil. See, they keep walking right on in behind there. And you can tell them, oh, I know that. But go ahead. It's all right. It only speaks. You see, you remember, the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to the dust, and the righteous will walk out upon the ashes of the wicked. But the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. Now, this is what we covered last week. And we took that to Deuteronomy 28, where failing to hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God brought on the curse, which all led to death. All the curses led to death. And we examined what it means to not hearken to the voice of God, which is his word. In other words, in Deuteronomy 28:1, the Hebrew word for hearken was shama, and it literally means to hear intelligently, understand, and obey. And Brother Branham, you know, his sermon was hearing, recognizing, that's understanding, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word of God. So, therefore, to not hearken means to listen without using your intelligence, without understanding, and therefore not obeying what that voice of the word is telling you. Now, I know you can go to probably, and I know some don't like it when I say this, but you go to about 99.9% of message churches today, and they believe God sent a prophet, but they don't know what the message is. You ask them, what is the message? Well, serpency. Malachi 4. You know, they can't tell you that the message is to get us closer to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And it is to change us. It is to get us ready. It's to actually make ready a prepared people for the Lord. All right. And unless you're listening to the taste intelligently, and I mean when you're intelligently listening, you're taking notes, because there's things that he says, and if you're not taking notes, then it just kind of goes through you and you forget it after the sermon's over, or you might remember it for a half a day as you're discussing, but if you don't discuss, you know, it just goes right up your mind. But if you're taking notes, then you can go back to that and say, yeah, I'm going to look that up again. I'm going to search that through. I'm going to study that out. That's intelligently hearing. So they that don't intelligently hear the voice of God are doing what? They're unintelligently hearing. And they're hearing without hearing. Hearing without perceiving. Okay? Without understanding. And we see that the consequence of not listening intelligently in order to understand and obey leads to death. And as Brother Branham said that the penalty of death is the last plague to strike Egypt and is the last plague to strike the earth before the great annihilation takes place. You know, it's like a parent that talks to little Johnny and says, Johnny, don't go in the street. Don't cross the street. And Johnny says, yeah, I know. And then Johnny goes out, runs in the street, car kills him. All right? Same scenario. God came with a warning. This is the warning. If you listen and pay attention, you're going to understand these things that are all going on today with all this talk of germ warfare and everything else going on. If you're listening with an understanding, if you listen to the prophet with an understanding, you would understand. And you would have been watching for these things, and now that they've come, you say, I've been waiting for them to happen. Well, same thing with the shout turning to the voice. You know, we're looking. There's clues God's giving us on a daily basis. Things are happening rapidly. The word is full manifestation right now. It's full manifestation mode. All right? But if you just listen to a tape, you know, like put it on and I'm doing this or doing that and not listening. You're not listening. Then you're not preparing either. We've known for 60 years there's coming end time plagues, there's coming end time depression. What have the people done to ready themselves so they're not in a state where they owe a lot of money during the time of a depression? Just keep racking up the bills, racking up the bills, racking up the bills. Then one day the Catholic Church says, okay, you know what? You owe me. And the Bible says that the servant or the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. You become their slave. That's what this is all about. This whole reset is about the people becoming slaves. Well, it's upon us, and how many people have prepared? Now, this morning, we're going to proceed to paragraph 158, where Brother Branham says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, said God. See, here we are. The light over the word. Now, when he uses terms like that, do you stop to think what that means? What does it mean, light over the word? As the light of the sun changes the seed from glory to glory, we also become more like him as we live in his presence. That's why it's so important, brother and sister, to lay in the presence to ripen. Because he says we become more like him as we live in his presence, like him, being conformed to his blessed image as we walk with him. These are action words. Now, talking is not an action word. Walking is an action word. Watch what the sun does. In the natural, type in the spiritual, you plant a seed, what happens? That seed rots. Inside the seed is a life. The life comes forth and brings forth a stalk. Now, that don't look like the first, but there's Lucifer. It was a stalk, all right. The stalk went on, and the first thing you know, it brought forth a tassel. See, that was a Wesleyan revival. It wasn't like the other. Then along come the Pentecostal revival. See, brought forth the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, what happened? We get fungus on the ear, and it begins to look wrong, this and that thing, and it don't look like the word. It's not like the rest of it. It's not like the original grain that went in, but God is still there to make that just the same. Now, in paragraph 157, Brother Bram uses the expression, it should be 158. He says, he used the expression, here we are, the light over the word. And then he immediately says, as the light of the sun changes the seed from glory to glory, we also become more like him as we live in the presence, like him being conformed to his blessed image as we walk with him. Watch what the sun does. What is the sun? It's the light. What is it? It's over the word. All right, now. So Brother Ram is giving us a clue when he identifies what the sun does to any seed that has been planted. And if we just look at the natural, we can see also the same application in the spiritual. It takes light to manifest any life. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:13, from the Amplified Bible we read, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts. For it is light that makes everything visible. I've often said this, that you can have people that have been in the message for 30, 40 years, but the message, because the message wasn't in them, that's kind of a cliche, I don't even like to use that, but because they didn't intelligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. All right? They didn't analyze, they didn't sit and look, they didn't examine, they didn't take it back to scriptures and study and study. Because they didn't do that, they just kind of were armchair Christians. You know, armchair quarterbacks, we got armchair Christians, who came to church, said amen when it sounded like they should say amen, you know, and that was their input. Go home, as soon as they get out of church, they go home, they put on a football game, or they put on a NASCAR, or they do something. Shows, there was nothing there. They were in church for attendance, maybe, to be seen, maybe, I don't know. But they certainly didn't take it to heart. And this is the whole thing about this message. God's dealing with the heart. Malachi 4 is to change the heart. Okay? So, Paul says, but all things become visible. Now remember, a seed is, you know, it's a little, you know, thing, but the life in the seed is not the shuck of the seed. It's not the endoderm or the mesoderm. It's the life is invisible. That's the spoken word. That's a spoken seed. All right? But he says, when the light, he said, when it become, all things become visible because they're exposed by the light. And, you, and like I said, you get people sitting in the message for 40 years, and then when the message, when the understanding of why he's here, the parousia comes, they take flight. When the understanding further comes, of who is here, that it's God himself has come down, they take flight. You see, because the light is exposing what seed is in them. Not just do they take flight, but they go back into the world and enjoy the things of the world. Now the NIV reads it this way, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Now, it's interesting because Brother Vail years ago preached a message called the Omega Reflection. And he read for 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 18. And in the beginning of 2 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about how Moses came down from the mountain, having been in the presence of God for 40 days. And his face reflected the Shekinah glory, just radiated the presence of God. And so he had to put a mask over his face. I guess this is like, it wasn't for COVID's sake, but it was for the fear of the people's sake. And what is the mask for? It's for the fear of the people's sake. All right, same thing. So Moses had this reflection of God, and he had to put a mask over his face to hide that reflection of God because it was just too much for the people. All right? Then Paul tells us that when we stand in the presence of God, we are changed from glory to glory, doxa to doxa, opinions, values, and judgment to opinions, values, and judgment, and from image to image, all right? So we are moving more and more and more into our predestined image that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, so everything exposed by the light becomes visible. In other words, the light does something to the seed life and brings a manifestation or an expression. Well, what is the word revelation? It's a manifestation of divine truth. Okay? What is light on the word? It's when the word becomes manifested. Now you have the interpretation of God's word. Because Brother Rav said God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So we are now living in a time of expression or a time of manifestation. The sons of God are manifesting. You know, people say, well, you know, does manifestation of sons of God, are they going to jump over things and whatever? No. I asked them, how did Jesus manifest? he did the Father's will. How does the Son of God manifest? He does the Father's will. That's exactly what it is, brother, sister. It's not some big super-duper hyper, you know, like when people said Brian Kasorik preaching John 14, he wants to be like the prophet. Well, I mean, we all want to be like the prophet, but I want to be like Jesus. And the fact is that John 14:12 is not, you know, do the super-duper-duper. God does the super-duper. God does the supernatural. We're just there what he does. We're just witnesses to what he's doing. But we're partakers of it, you see? And we're willing to express that. And so what he says is, but everything exposed by the light, okay, becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes light. And as I said, Brother Vell, when he preached that, he said, you stand in before a mirror, turn off all the lights, you don't see anything. Now, crack the door a little bit and there's light in the hallway. That little bit of light begins to show, and you're standing in front of the mirror. What do you see? You see your forehead. You see maybe the tip of your nose. You see things, okay? And as you give it a little bit more light, you become visible, right? Well, what are you seeing then? You're seeing light. When I look at you, I'm seeing light. When I look at you, I see light. You see? And when I see the light, it says everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. Well, isn't he the light? The great light in the beginning? Now, the Passion Translation is a bit more unique in that instead of merely using the word light, it uses the word revelation light. As we read in verse 13, whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. So when the revelation light comes, it corrects. It corrects. It's reproof, as the King James says. Now, never, ever forget that the definition of revelation is manifestation of divine truth. And you can have divine truth. And in fact, the entire written Bible is divine truth. But light upon that divine truth is when the divine truth is manifested. And until it is manifested, God has not yet interpreted that portion of his word, because we know that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Now, here's the thing. So what does he mean, light upon the word? We're talking about whatever the revelation light exposes, it brings into, makes it visible, correct? Makes it manifested. That's a better word. Now, what you're looking at then is when the Word of God in you becomes manifested. Let me just back up. When the light of the sun strikes the seed, what happens? The life in the seed, which is an invisible life, becomes visible through an expression. Is that correct? Right? Okay, so then, light upon the divine truth is when the divine truth is manifested. And until it is manifested, God has not yet interpreted that portion of his word. Because we know that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Now, the Apostle Peter told us that the word of God is of no private interpretation. Correct? So, 2 Peter 1 and 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, that as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy in the scripture is of any written interpretation. You see, this is a book of seeds. Okay? And when the light strikes the seed, it brings into manifestation. Now, you can't see the life by reading it. But when God's light strikes it and it comes into reality in the dimension you're living, now you're seeing the life expressed from that seed. Correct? All right. Then when Jesus said, in that day, I'll be in the Father me, I in you, you in me, and we'll come and manifest ourselves to you. The world won't see me, but they'll see you. And then Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas says, how is it possible that the world won't see you, but we'll see you. What was his answer? Because I'll be in you. I and the Father will make our abode in you. And it is a manifestation of that revelation living in you that you'll see. That's God. That's not Peter. You know, Peter had plans for this, and God did plans for this.
Amen.
And you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And you say, thank you, Lord, because the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Okay? Now, notice it says, first we have a more sure word of prophecy. So what is a more sure word? It would be when that prophecy comes to pass, then it is a certainty that the interpretation of the prophecy is when it comes to pass, and you can see that this is what is written is the same as that which has come to pass. Now that is making it as clear as it gets. And Brother Branham then says from harvest time, he says, now Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, see, he will bring these things that I've taught you to your memory, the word, and he'll also show you things to come. There's a real Spirit-filled church now, stays with the Word and reflects the Word, God on earth, see? He doesn't need any theologian because his Word is of no private interpretation. He interprets his own Word by vindicating it and proving it, and it's the truth. That is the truth. Now, from investments, he said, that's what makes the gospel today. It's the unusualness because God is unusual. His word is interpreted unusual to what we sometimes have it interpreted. But as I said before, God needs nobody to interpret his word. He does his own interpretation by bringing to pass the things that he said he would do. He interprets his own word. He doesn't need our interpretation. Our interpretation is our own man-made thoughts that we put into it. When God said, let there be light, and there was light, that needs no interpretation. You see, when God says, I will send you in Malachi 4 before the coming of, Malachi 4, I will send you the spirit of Elijah before the coming of the dreadful day of the Lord, etc. He'll turn the hearts of the children. And the denomination, their thoughts, oh, that's going to be a group of people. Well, that's going to be a movement in the amongst the people, and they're going to do. And that's not what he says. But how do we know the interpretation? Because God has already vindicated, and he's already interpreted that word for us through the prophet of Malachi 4, William Branham. You see? Well, what about when he says that I'll give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and they'll grow up into him in all things, and they will conform the image of the firstborn son, and they will be ready for adoption, which is the full stature, and they will manifest as sons. It's being interpreted by coming to pass. We don't have to look down the road and say, when is it going to be? It's already happening. You see? Now, so he says, it's our interpretations, our own man-made thoughts that we put with it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That needs no interpretation. God said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That doesn't need any interpretation. Jesus said, the Son of Man goes up to Jerusalem and will be given into the hands of sinful men. They'll crucify him, and on the third day he'll rise again. That needs no interpretation. He said, a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age, to the consummation. He's here. It doesn't need any interpretation. It's his promise. The works that I do, shall he do also. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's found in St. John 14:12, and we know that that's true. So it doesn't need any interpretation. You see, if you start to try to interpret that, you're using your mind and your own thinking. But God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Oh, well, you know, you see the word he, that's just singular, you know. It only speaks to one man if it's singular. But God interprets the word by bringing it to pass. It needs no interpretation. And the prophet of God that vindicated with the interpretation of that word said, he said otherwise. And from question and answer, he said, let's take St. John the 14th chapter, and I want you to look at this now. And if you can catch it right quick, St. John 14:12, I believe it is, we'll get it right quick, and look what Jesus said about it. All right, verily, verily, I say unto you, he, whoever it is, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, any man. The man himself can't be Christ, but the works of Christ will follow every believer. You see? He'll do the works of Christ in any man. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do. Not I shall do. He shall do. He shall, not I. But he believes in me and has confessed his faith in me and died out to himself, and my spirit dwells in him, and he becomes a part of me. Now, that don't make him Christ. It makes him a part of Christ with the rest of the church, all right? He is not Christ, because that would be Antichrist, you see. But he would be taken away from Christ. But he can be, do the works of Christ, any believer, all right. So the right interpretation to what he tells us, five different ways to express what that word he actually means. Number one, he, William Branham, defines as whoever it is. Number two, he, William Branham, defines as any man. Number three, he, William Branham, defines as every believer. Number four, he, William Branham, defines as in any man. And number five, he, William Branham, defines as any believer. So God doesn't need anyone to interpret his word. And that is why he sends a prophet to show us the right interpretation is when it comes to pass. So when he says, see, here he is, or here we are, the light over the word, as the light of the sun changes the sea from glory to glory, we also become more like him as we live in his presence, like him, being conformed to his blessed image as we walk with him. Watch what the sun does. So showing us in the natural what the sun does is exactly what the light of God upon the word does to the believer. It brings the light that's in the seed, the gene seed. Remember, we went over this a couple weeks ago, the difference between the theophany and the gene seed. The gene seed comes to life. How do you know it? Because it manifests that life. Now, notice that he's instructing us to take what is happening in the spiritual and then look to the natural principle to see how it works, and then apply that same principle to the spiritual. And then he says, as the light of the sun changes the sea, he says, so does our living in his presence changes from glory to glory, from image to image, until we are conformed to his very image as we walk with him. So, what is he referring to here? Well, 1 John 1 and 7. If you walk in the light as he is in the light. Also 2 Corinthians 3:18, which he took for his text in this sermon. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, with no traditions, no creeds, and we are beholding the glory, the doxa of the Lord, are changed into the same image from doxa to doxa, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now remember Jesus' prayer. He said, Father, I pray that the doxa which you gave me, the glory you gave me, I have given to them, that they might be one as you and I are one. And here it says that we all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the word, we are beholding the doxa of the Lord, and we're being changed into the same image. What changes you? This mirror right here. The doxa, the light upon the word. Now remember, this entire chapter is about when Moses had been in the presence of the Lord for so long that when he came down to the people, his face glowed with the glory of God upon his face. So he is referencing here that our living in the presence of God will also cause the light of his presence to reflect upon us and to germinate the gene seed of God in us, thus quickening us to becoming transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is Romans 12 and 2, and thus we are conformed to the image of the firstborn son, which is Romans 8 and 29. Now, in his sermon, Evening Messenger, Brother Branham tells us, Jesus was trying to tell them that their excuses was what killed the prophets and what killed the righteous that come. They accepted their creeds that man had given them instead of taking the word of God, and by doing so had made the word of God of no effect. Now, you've either got to say in this that this is God's will and God's desire, or either something else that you can crop up that's better than what this is. Now, you have to take one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Let me just stop here because the thought comes. So he's saying, look, when God says something or does something, that is the best there is. And he says, you can either take what God has given you or take what man does. It's just like the gene therapy. All right, God gave us a unique encoding in our DNA that resists disease, that actually will build up immunity to disease. And man says, no, that ain't good enough. I'm going to make man so he's going to be a transhuman. And I'm going to make him so he will, you know, he will absolutely resist his disease. How are you going to do that? Well, you know, the disease has spike proteins. So if we can just get the body to produce their own spike proteins, then maybe the body will recognize those spike proteins. And then when the disease comes, it says, okay, I already recognize spike proteins, and this got spike proteins, so I will kill it. But the body says, you know what? The coding in us, the quality control, okay, the defender of our body says, you know what? Where are these spike proteins coming from? Oh, they're coming from the body. Oh, I got to destroy the body. That's what's happening. Because why? Because they refuse to take God's provided way. The spoken word is the original seed. It's the best seed. You can't add to it or you hybrid it. Right? That's what they're doing with man right now. They want to hybrid man. Now, you've either got to say in this that this is God's will and God's desire, or either something else that you can crop up that's better than what this is. Now, you have to take one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon, and you've got to say this is the truth or that's part of the truth. So when people, believers in this message, take the vaccine, they're saying God's way is not good enough. I will take man's way. What are they doing right there? They're showing that they've made up their mind. They're not sold out to the word. Man can do it better, so we'll take man's way. That's what they're doing. That's what Brother Brown's saying here. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to say this is the truth, or that's part of the truth, or it isn't all the truth, or it isn't put together right, or it isn't interpreted right. And the Bible said that the word of God is of no private interpretation. No one else is supposed to put an interpretation to it. It's written just the way God wants it interpreted. Just what it says, that's what it's supposed to be. Just take it the way it is said, the way it's wrote down here. Now, they accepted their creeds. They make God's promises of no effect to them. They bypass that. They just skip away from that. Now, if we are written epistles, read of all men, then before the foundations of the world, when God was developing each code of our DNA, that was to be able, when the light strikes, was to be able to receive that light and begin to manifest that light, the life that's in that light, because the light, listen, God is life, right? And he gave life to the sun, and he gave life to sons. But in the beginning, he was light, and in that light, the light is what? The life. The life is the light of men. Okay, that's what the scripture says. So, they come along and say, you know what? That DNA code is just not correct. We're going to add this to it and this to it, and we're going to perfect it, man. We're going to perfect it. You know, the day you eat thereof, God said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. No, you're going to be fine, Eve. And so we have the whole world today is playing out the part of Eve. Do you know that? That's absolutely what's happening. I'm taking the vaccine so that I will live. And they don't realize it's going to kill you. The very thing that Eve did, when she took the injection or the inoculation by the serpent, it produced death. It didn't produce life. But he said, what he said was, you won't surely die. Oh, I'm going to take it because I won't surely die. And that's what caused her death. You see the parallels going on. Alpha becoming Omega. See? They make God's promises of no effect to them. They bypass that. Just skip away from it. Okay? So with that in mind, let's just see what else Brother Brandon has to say about this light on the word or light over the word, in order to get a better understanding of what he means by this. Therefore, to catch what his meaning is by this expression, we find another sermon where he uses the same language, but he uses a little bit different words. Now, as I said, to understand what Brother Branham means by this term, light over the word, we should also examine other places where he uses this same phraseology. All right, so we see from a message, what shall we do with Jesus called the Christ? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He's reading from Scripture. And the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same God that was in David. He was the same one that was in Moses. He was the same one was in all the apostles, and he's the same one that was in Jesus Christ to manifest himself there by that promised Word. And he's the same God today, the same Word, throwing light upon the Word. Now, before he said, in the unveiling, he said light over the Word, but now he's saying light upon, which is the same thing, because if it's over, it's also upon of the Word. God be merciful, yes, sir, believing God to interpret himself, every word to be vindicated, yes, he is his own interpreter. Now, let me believe this is God's Word. Well, doesn't God's Word speak of a certain people that are predestinated before the foundation of the world to adoption? So what does that mean? That means God's light upon that actually brings forth the manifestation to those individuals that were in his mind before the foundation of the world. Is that correct? Well, Brother Brown said, God, he said, believing God to interpret himself. You see, when God expresses light upon you, the seed gene, expresses the life that's in God in you, that's the light upon the Word, that's God interpreting himself in you, because you're a portion of that Word that has to be interpreted, vindicated. Yes, he is his own interpreter. So we can see again his consistency in using this phrase or similar phrase of light upon the Word to mean when God vindicates it and brings it to pass, then in effect, God is interpreting his written Word by bringing it to pass. And that manifestation of his Word is light upon the Word, or light over his Word, or light on his Word. All three can be seen in the natural as the sun over, upon, or on the seed brings a seed into manifestation of the life that's in it. Now, Brother Branham also said in his sermon, Man That Can Turn On the Light, he says, so life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Now, this is beautiful. Life is only by the Word of God made manifest, not still written, manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it's just in the book, like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what is spoke of being manifested. Then that is light on the Word. When we read in here, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, but until we saw the manifestation of it, we had no clue actually how it would be manifested. We actually had no clue what the product would be. But when we saw it manifested, and then we read this, we said, oh, that is this. You see, I see the product. It was William Branham. You see? I see the product of Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. I see the product of Romans and Hebrews and Galatians 2 and 20 and all these things. I see that product in me and you. Now I can see and understand what God's Word actually means, because God has interpreted it to us. So life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it's just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it's spoke of being manifest. Then that is light on the Word. So what's he saying? Light on the Word, light over the Word, light upon the Word is actually the Word itself manifesting. Okay? Now, I mean, look, you might be saying, well, you're kind of dragging this out. It's very simple, but I don't want you to miss this. Because we're going to come to find out that when he says, I will be with you even in you to the end of the age, that's the manifestation. That's the light upon the Word. That's what brings, the Word said so, and then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. I like that. Life in light. Light bringing life. Light brings life. plant the wheat out here, you put it in the basement, cover it all over, it'll never bring forth anything because it can't. There's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it brings forth life in its germatized seed. That's the same thing it is in the Word. See, the Word is God, and when the light strikes it, it brings the Word to life again. Every age has always been that. Then in paragraph 74, he says, now remember, we cannot live by yesterday's light. This is a very important thing I want you to understand this morning. We cannot live by yesterday's light. Yesterday's light is gone. It is no more. Yesterday's light is only a memory. Yesterday's sunlight is only a memory or a history. We cannot live in yesterday's light. You see, if you only have a yesterday's light of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, you can't live by that. Neither can you live by Wesley's light or Luther's light in a day when it requires to be fully conformed to the image of the firstborn son, who was the entire Word expressed. And to be conformed to that, you cannot live by the light of yesterday. In other words, if I were to be able to shut off the sun, period, immediately your plants out there growing would begin to die. But they had light yesterday. What good is that doing them today? You understand? The same, you can't go back, you can't drive down the road with a rearview mirror, you cannot depend on, well, I believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I believe that he raised from the dead, I believe God raised him up, I believe all these things. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're not a Christian. You know why? Christian means Christ-like. It doesn't mean that you've got a mental understanding of a historical event that took place. Sons of God are led by what? The Spirit of God. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. You can't depend on yesterday. Brother Branham made the statement in the false and anointed ones at the end time. He said, if they don't move on when the light, when the Word of God comes to pass and they don't move on, they are dead and they are gone. When the pillar of fire led the children of Israel, when it moved, they picked up all their camps and tents and everything else, and they moved with it. Otherwise, what? They'd be left back in the wilderness to die and rot and everything else. But as long as they lived under that light, I mean, not even their clothes wore out. They were fed every day. They had life. All the aspects of life, clothing, food, fellowship, was there as long as they were in that present tense light. He said to Moses, who shall I say that I am? He said, tell him I am. I am sent you. I am. Not I was, not I will be. I am. What is your relationship with God today? Well, you know, 40 years ago I gave my life to the Lord, and what is it today? What are you doing? How are you talking to your papa? Your father, today? Or is it just tradition? And tradition is what? Going back. So it says, we cannot live by yesterday's light. Yesterday's light is gone. It isn't no more. Yesterday's light is only a memory. Yesterday's light is only memory or a history. We cannot live in yesterday's light. And the same is with the light on the Word of God of Noah's day. Or Moses' day, or even Jesus' day. The light is gone. It's a history. And it's not a present-day manifestation or a present-day promise in this Word. That is why it's not enough to claim the revelation of a day past. Justification is not enough. Sanctification is not enough. Neither is the baptism of the Holy Ghost enough. For in this day, the baptizer himself has returned once again. Not to baptize us with his Spirit, but to bring us to a conforming to the firstborn son and then manifest as sons. What good would it be to be a seed of God if the light was not manifesting the life that's in the seed of God? You understand? That is why Brother Branham goes on in paragraph 159. And then he says, and now notice, what does it do? It finally returns back to the original seed again. When he come in the form of Martin Luther, when he come in the form of John Wesley, when he come in the form of Pentecostal, he's supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in, the Son of Man. He reveals himself as Son of God through the stock age and so forth, but in the last day, he's to reveal himself as Son of Man again. You get it? All right, paragraph 160. Like the beginning, molded. Now, what does that stalk grow? It's growing all the time. That little stalk grows. Still, it's not like the original grain. Neither was Luther's message. No, and along come the other message, Finney, Sankey, Knox, Calvin on down. None of them, they were still the message, but what it was, they didn't get the complete revelation of it because it wasn't the time. You can't put the ear of corn before it's time to come. See? Then finally, there comes back again the original seed that went into the ground. You see, God follows nature exactly. See? And so we see that God has returned in this hour of his great parousia. Oh, I love that. And his great light is now bringing us to a conformity with the same life that was in his firstborn son. Colossians 3:4, when Christ... Now, read this the way it is. When Christ, who is... what is that, present tense? Who is our life, when he shall appear, Phaneru, then shall we also appear with him in glory, in doxa, you know, the opinions, values, and judgment. Remember, Jesus said, you gave me the doxa, you gave me the glory you gave me, I've given them so that what? They can be one like you and I are one. When Christ, who is our Zoe, shall Phaneru, then shall you also Phaneru with him in doxa. When Christ, who is our very life, Galatians 2:20, what is that? I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead, and yet I'm living. And it's not me living, it's Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this vessel, I'm living by the same revelation Christ lived by, that I'm a son of God. I am a son of God in the very image of the firstborn son. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our very light, Galatians 2:20, shall manifest in his true character, then shall we also manifest in our true character in the same opinions, values, and judgment. Because who's doing it? He's doing it. It's no longer me. It's Christ living in me. It's the manifestation, which is... it's the revelation, which is the manifestation of the divine truth. Why? Why do we manifest when he manifests? Because he is our life. When Christ, who is our life. You see? That's why we manifest, because it's not us manifesting, it's actually him manifesting in us. When Christ, who is our life, that's just what he told us. And as it said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet it's not me that's living, but rather it's Christ that is living in me, and the life that I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the same revelation that the firstborn son lived by. I am a son of God, and I live like I am a son of God. When Christ, who is my very life, shall manifest in his true character, then I shall also manifest in my true character in the same opinions, values, and judgment as he did, because it is not I that is living, but Christ that's living in me. And by the same revelation that he lived, I also am living. Galatians 2:20. You see how Galatians 2:20 and Colossians 3:2 are exactly the same thing? Paul didn't preach one thing over here to Galatians, another thing over here to Colossians. He preached the same thing, just used a little bit different words to get through the same expression of God's life to the people so the people would understand. At that day, what day? The day of the adoption. At that day, you shall know. Now, that word is gnosko, and it means to experientially know. At that day, you shall experientially know that I am in the Father. Yep. And you in me. Amen. And I in you. And how do I know that? I'm experiencing it. Experientially knowing it. He that echoes my commandments and keepeth them, guards them from loss, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself. That word manifest myself is enphanizo, which means to manifest in you, to him, in you. Enphanizo, in Phanerou. And I will manifest in my Phanerou in you. That's why when Christ appears, we appear. That's why when Christ Phanerous, we Phanerou. When he manifests, we manifest. Why? Because he is doing it. He says, I will love him and will manifest myself and Phanizo in Phanerou you. Now the word to is not in the Greek and was added by the 17th century translator. It should have read, I will manifest myself in you. En meaning in and phanis meaning to manifest. That is exactly Colossians 3 and 4 all over again. When Christ, who is present tense our life, shall manifest in his true character, so shall we manifest in our true character because it is actually his life manifesting in us. And how does his life manifest in us? That's John 14:12. That's what it's all about. If the Spirit of Christ is alive in you, then you will think like he thinks. And you will speak like he speaks. You will act like he acts, and you will do the works that he did. Now back to John 14:12. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, but not unto the world? In other words, how is it that we will see, but they won't see? And Jesus answering said unto him, if a man loves me and will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now that word with, it's a strange word because it can be, it's para, and it can be used in vicinity or it can be used as in. And if you're not careful, when you use the word with, like in the beginning was the Word was with God. You're saying, okay, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with, in other words, God and then the Word, with God, and then the Word was God. You say, well, how could it be with God and then was God? Because that word with, para, it means in God. So the Word was in God and the Word was God. All right? So, he says, and we will come unto him, and I should have probably looked up that word unto because I'll guarantee it probably says it's an en word, in other words in, and we will come into him, not unto as though God's here, you're here. We will come into him and make our abode in him. As I mentioned here, the word with was translated from the Greek word para, which means figuratively with, at, or in. And therefore, to make sure it lines up with what the other scripture tells us, the word in him should have been used and not with him. Not make our abode with him, and though we are separate, but two living together, but in him, as God the Word and Jesus the manifested Word will come in to him and make them their house or their dwelling place. I cannot give you this what I'm talking about, but I can't give it to you. But you can receive it as a personal promise to you, and receive it into your heart, and then God is obligated to his promise to manifest it in you. But if you do not believe it is for you, then it isn't for you. You see, that is where faith comes in, which is revelation. If you truly believe it is a promise for you, then claim it, and God, the Word, will manifest himself in you just as Jesus promised. And that's John 14:12 again. And that is what Paul called the hope of glory, as we see in Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's God's opinions, values, and judgment? Which is Christ in you, the anointing in you, which is your hope of having the opinions and judgments and values of God. In other words, if his life is in you, it's going to express his values. You're not going to be walking out there half naked like the rest of the world. You're going to dress like what would be pleasing to God. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father that sent me. That's my meat. That's my energy. That's where I get my sustenance from. Now let me just read this from the Bible called The Message. It says, this message, or this mystery, has been kept in the dark for a long time, but it, Now it's open. Now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this: Christ in you. Christ is in you. So therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. It's to be basic Christ. No more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy of God that God so generously gives me. I like that translation because it's very pertinent to today. Now, from the Passion Bible version, Colossians 1:27 says, "Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory." This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. So living within you is the Christ, which gives you the hope of glory. Now from Turn on the Light, Brother Ram says, nothing can live natural or spiritual without his light. And his word is light and life. You say, well, how can, you don't need light in the natural. Yeah, you do. Without the light of the sun, this whole earth would turn cold and become one big ice cube. And what's the word? Genesis 1:13. And God set the sun and the moon and the stars to give light by day. That's the word of God expressed, brother, sister. Nothing can live, natural or spiritual, without his light. And his word is light and life. I like that, light and life. But when he sends his light and makes it known to people, and then it's rejected, then what about that? That's what we want to talk about this morning, is rejecting this light. By them it's sent to, rejected just like it was then. Behold my servant in whom I have delighted. He's a light to the Gentiles. He's a light to the world. He was the light of the world, but he was rejected. That's the sad part. And it meets that condition. Every time that God manifests his light, the word itself rejects that light. Why? It's written right in the Bible, each age. God has lauded so much of his word for each age, and he always sends somebody to manifest that word. So when that word is manifested, what do? They reject it. Ah, he's preaching John 14:12. Hey, I'm not the one that, like Brother Ram said, I'm not the one that appeared down at the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. It's not what I know, it's what I've surrendered myself to. It's what he speaks through. A brother wrote to me one time, he said, you got that rainbow picture on your website. You know, take it down. I just wrote back and said, he said, who do you think you are? I said, brother, I'm not the one that appeared over that meeting. I was only standing there when he appeared. I said, it's not what I know, it's just what I surrender myself to. I just gave him exactly the same word for word what Brother Bram said. You know what? He wrote back and said, I'm really sorry, brother. I totally misunderstood. You see, when John 14:12, when you are just a vessel, but you are so in tune with God, who is the supernatural God, it's not you doing those things, it's him. You're just a witness. And you know, if you're not going to be to tell others, God won't let you see too much of those things because he knows that you're not really a witness. But if you got something in you that wants to tell God about all you see him doing, it's not you bragging, saying, hey, I was there when he did this. Look, I'm a witness. That's all I am. I'm a witness. God did these things. And the brother said, when they're all talking about the rainbow, so I said, brother, I said, I didn't see it. I was inside preaching. I didn't see it. But I said, but I didn't need it because I already knew. I already knew my relationship with him and what he wanted me to do. I said, that was for you. Just like Jesus said when they heard the thunder. And Jesus said, that wasn't for me. That was for you. You understand? That light over that prophet's head, that wasn't for him. That was for us. You know, that picture That he didn't need that to continue preaching while he's preaching. He's already preaching. God came in and confirmed it. When God does something very supernatural for your life, brother, sister, it's not for you, it's for others around you. Hallelujah. And then what are they going to do? They're going to reject it? You're just talking about yourself. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about what I've seen him do. My whole life I've seen him do great things. He's a supernatural God with a very natural people. But if we have a supernatural God living in us, all you can see is God. So, Brother Brown says, for man that can turn on the light, says there's nothing can give you life but the spoken word of God. Life only comes by light. In other words, light upon the word is the manifestation of the word, right? What is it when the seed life manifests? It's the life manifesting. So there's nothing can give you life, which is manifestation, but the spoken word of God. Life only comes by light. Oh my. When you see the God life in you beginning to manifest and express itself, that's light on the word. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Romans 8, 29. Romans 8, 19. Being manifested as a son of God. When you see that, brother, sister, that's light upon the word. You know what that shows you? That was you it was talking about. That's you. You want to find yourself in the Bible? Go right to there. Hallelujah. When the bride knows who she is, what's going to happen? She's going to go. So we see that the manifesting of himself to us, or actually in us, the light upon the word, is a manifestation of the word to us or in us. And it brings revelation to us or in us of himself. For God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. But even more importantly than that is the fact that we have this great promise that when he shall manifest in his true character, so shall we manifest in our true character, because it's him doing it. That is why I believe that if the word of God is being truly presented in an open and unhidden manner, you cannot hide if you try. And when the word is presented in such a way, you will manifest who you are, and you will make known the counsel of your heart, and you will not escape it. For as surely as light makes manifest in the natural light what life is in the seed, so too the light of the glorious presence coming forth from a vessel that is perfectly reflecting that light will most assuredly cause all that sit under that ministry or come in contact with that ministry, whether they are with it or against it, they will become exposed as to just what they are. And those who do not like what they see in themselves will not stay around to receive more exposing of themselves. That's why John said they went out from among us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us. He says, but you have an unction. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know, you understand all things. So we see that it takes the presence of the pillar of fire to bring the seed of God to life. Why? Because that seed is God's word. But as Brother Branham said, unless the light strikes it, it will just stay dormant. No life expression as a result. But when the light strikes it, that seed cannot help but to come alive. Why? Because light makes manifest. Now look, when the pillar of fire comes into Moses' presence, it sparked him to life. He became a different man altogether. When the light of God's glorious presence came into the presence of the Apostle Paul, he came alive to the Word. And the Word seed came alive in him. And when the pillar of fire came into the presence of William Branham, what happened? He came alive to the Word, and the Word life came alive in him. Up to that point, when the pillar of fire came into the presence of these men, all three would be murderers. Moses killed a man, Paul killed and persecuted the Christians, and William Branham, had it not been for the sovereign grace of God, would have killed those three boys when he was beaten by them as a young child. And notice, until the pillar of fire came into their presence, they were all just men, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came to the world speaking lies. But then the light struck them, and that predestinated seed that had laid dormant in them became quickened and made alive. Notice, Christ in you. Notice, God interpreting himself in you. The Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the same Apostle said in Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, will appear with him also in the same opinions, values, and judgment. And from why Christ speak, Brother Brown said, I don't care what you've done. You might have been religious all your life. You might have lived in the church. Your father may be, have been a minister, or your husband might be a minister. But as long as you disobey the word of God, it shows there's no light there. What is that? There's no manifestation there. When you see the thing brought out and the life of the Holy Spirit, watch it when it strikes others. See what they do. If it brings it on, no wonder. What a rebuke to those Pharisees that called Jesus when he could perceive their thoughts. And he called him Beelzebub, and that little prostitute said, why, this fellow is the Messiah. The scripture says he'll do this. See? That predestinated seed was laying there, and when that light struck it, it come to life. See? You can't keep it down. You can't hide life. You can pour concrete upon a bunch of grass, and it'll kill it in the wintertime, but the next spring, where is your most grass at? Right around the edge of the concrete. Because that germinized seed under that stone, when the sun begins to shine, you can't hold it. It'll wiggle its way around through there and come right out at the edge of that and stick its head up for the glory of God, and you can't hide that life. Now, in closing, from John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Rather than light, rather than the word, rather means in a greater measure, and you would rather do this than do this. It is used to make a comparison, and so they would rather their darkness than light. They would rather take the COVID shot than trust that God is the healer of all our diseases. So they reject the light in favor of their darkness. That is why they can have their religion and still reject the light, which is the revealed word. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They will not come to the light, lest their deeds will be exposed by the light as to their true nature. Paul said in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. John 3:21, but he that doeth truth, not just he talks it, not talk, but lives it. Brother Rabbi said, don't preach me a sermon, show me a sermon. He that doeth truth comes to the light. How is that possible? Because he's manifesting it by doing it, right? He that doeth truth, he that manifest truth cometh to the light, cometh to the manifestation, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or have their source in God. And that means that they have their source in God, because John tells us in 1 John 2:29, if you know that he, God, is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Everyone that manifests right wiseness is born of him. Again, 1 John 3:7, he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth right wiseness is rightly wise, even as he is righteous. Now, not him that talks the word is righteous, but he that doeth the word, he that walks in the light, not him that talks of the light. And talk is cheap, because anyone can say the right thing, but it takes the light upon the seed to bring the seed to life, to manifestation. Now, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that's doing, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should manifest them. Now, for man that turn on light, we've read this before, but I'm going to read it again. All life. So life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned, but when it's made manifest, Then you see the product of what it spoke of being made manifest. Then that is light on the word. See, that's what brings. The word said so, and then when it comes to pass, that brings life in light. Light bringing life. Light brings life. Plant the weed out here. You plant it in the basement, cover it all over. It'll never bring forth anything because it can't. There's no light down there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life in its germinative seed. That's the same thing it is in the Word. See, the Word is God, and then when the light strikes it, it brings the Word to life manifestation. Again, every age has always been that. Notice, Ephesians 4, Paul tells us that we are to walk in it. Ephesians 4, 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. He says you've got to walk it, W-A-L-K, worthy of it, and become, or in an appropriate manner. It means to live it, to live what you preach, live the life. There is a life that we are called to. It is not a profession from your mouth, but a confession from your life. So how do we live it? That's the question. How do we live it? Well, 2 Thessalonians in closing now. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10 to 12. When he shall come to be glorified in the saints, and dox azo, in doxa zoe. In other words, the zoe will be in our, the doxa will be in our zoe. And to be admired in all of them that believe, admired. Why? Because they see that doxa in you. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that God, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified and dox azo in you, the name in you, and you in him, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They were called Christians because why? They were Christ-like. The endoxazo, the dox of God in your zoe. Light on the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because your prophet's words are just so beautiful. If we study them intelligently, Lord, we hear them intelligently, as you said, he that will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, these blessings shall not only come upon you, but they shall overtake you. Oh, hallelujah. I know we ran in the race, and Paul said we're running a race, and when the blessings, we don't see them coming, but they come upon you, and then they overtake you, and now you see them not only coming behind you, you see them around you, and then you see them in front of you, and everywhere you go, you just see those blessings of God. Oh, my. We are such a privileged people. We are heading into an eternal bliss, an eternal life that's laid out before us because we've already entered into it. And we just see our Father, just like the people in the wilderness, every single thing we have need of, he takes care of. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He's our buckler and shield. Jehovah Rapha, he's our God that healeth all our diseases. He is our all and all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to give you.
I know whom I have believed.